Hey, everybody. I'm Dieter. That's Jake. I'm from parts unknown right now. Jake is down in the Bay doing the Lord's work, which is covering day one of training.
And day two.
Oh, and day two. What was day one and day two? These are very important things.
Yeah. There's the pre-day one where you talk to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, and then you sort of talk in circles. And then there's day one where you have unpadded practice, then day two where you realize, oh, this is very silly until we get pads on. And then there's two more days like that coming up.
Right. So it's basically just extended mini camp again, which is cool, which is also why I'm not there, among other reasons. And I don't know. I mean, you feel like you're learning something out here, Jake? You feel like you're getting some information on the boys?
A little bit. I think it's tough for the trench guys and even the linebackers, but the corners, it's really cool. Like, also Malik Mustafa, listen, talked him up plenty before the draft. He looks sick. Like, day one, because the question with him is, can he actually play safety, or is he just like a speeding bullet who's going to help in the box and maybe has some splash play potential? He's like playing center field on some occasions. So yesterday he was single high, at least the way it looked to me. It looked like he was the lone safety, I think cover three, and he ranged over. It was a Josh Dobbs deep ball underthrown, which is becoming a theme. And he was going for Danny Gray, who, listen, Danny Gray probably, you know, still not going to make this team, but he's at least been out there and made a few catches and tested guys vertically, which is like, that's what he should be doing. Josh Dobbs threw it. Malik Mustafa ranged over, cut it off underneath. Awesome play. And like a tough ball to come down with, came down with it. He had, I want to say, another PBU today, almost an interception that he broke on. Really impressive. And I also saw him play in the slot against Logan Thomas, just clamped him. There's a really good chance, like, safety is, I think, the position. I was talking about with our guy Nick Wagoner. It has the biggest variance of any position, because it could suck, or it could be really, really intriguing, where you've got Talanoa Hufanga as like a blitzing safety. You could go, if Mustafa can play high, you know, you've got two young safeties in Jair Brown and Mustafa, who are really intriguing, could be a great safety pair. Like, there's a lot there. And I think a lot hinges on what Mustafa can do. And George Odom's been out there too. He's pretty solid. I don't have too much.
I'd like to remind everyone, they signed a dude off a Disney cruise rather than let George Odom play safety last year. I'd like to think that they're going to let the rookie play over him. It sounds to me as if they have, right? Like, that's Mustafa is sort
it's of. It's been Odom and Jair. Yeah, it's been Odom and Jair Brown, but Mustafa's with like the second group and getting, which is almost more valuable because you're going with the second group and sort of reigning over them. And Sorensen raved about his ability to communicate, which is like, we can see what he's doing out there, but if he's communicating well and actually understanding it, that's huge. 100%.
I mean, listen, you're telling me things I like to hear. Safeties are destiny in the NFL. And as we talked about on the last go round, pretty concerning the lack of safety depth. As much as you and I both love Mustafa, you identified Mustafa weeks before anybody else. You might have been the first one on the Mustafa train in the whole draft world. as much as we enjoy a Malik Mustafa, he's still a rookie at a position where rookies are generally not successful. And again, 2 days unpadded practice, we're going to find out, but it's telling to me that you're like, hell yeah, brother. This is it.
There's also on day one, Juwan Jennings has looked himself. He's sick. He's just awesome. He's like just a pain for people. Like, there was a play where Jennings caught a ball over the middle and Mustafa was right there, and Mustafa was like, and he had to pull up, and that sort of that contact, I know they're not really going to do that, but like Jennings is like the type of guy who would like lean into that sort of contact. I really wish we could have seen that.
This is how we get training camp fights, which, you know, I'm all for being honest. Okay. Malik Mustafa has impressed you, but we got to swing it back to the guys who aren't there. And Brandon Ayuk is, I guess, technically there. He's going full Friday, yep. my neck, my back, which is a great look. I mean, just another Kyle, grade A Kyle performance.
What's up? Kyle not even pretending to he's holding in, he's got a back injury or something. Man. You know how this works.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate Kyle being just a realist about all of it and just being like, he's holding in. Like, he made up an injury. We can't say that he doesn't have it and we're going to, you know, whatever, man. Like, I get it. Like, I'm not blaming the guy. And listen, it's a pretty prudent move fiscally for him you're just talking about that's a lot of money that he gets to keep in his pocket. And the Niners have been cool with hold-ins in the past. So I don't know if it portends anything positive or negative for Brandon Ayuk's next contract. I don't think there's a read that we can get on it. Do you have any feeling on the matter now that Brandon Ayuk is there and not practicing?
I think the Trent thing complicates it, because if you're the 49ers, you're going, Brandon, we don't care right now. Like, go, like, Trent Williams needs a he's not coming.
Yeah, that's right.
And otherwise, we have to play Jalen Moore, who got, like, listen, they like to talk up Jalen Moore as like a swing tackle, whatever. I like, there's not many great backup tackles out there, but like,
there's not a lot of great tackles in general, much less starters. Right.
But like Yetur Gross-Matos and Nick Bosa are just like cooking on either side of the offensive line. Just like, they're wreaking havoc out there.
I want to put a pin in Yetur Gross-Matos, but during minicamp, we had Chris Forster, the offensive line coach, run game coordinator, going on about how much he loves Jalen Moore and how he almost like feels bad for Jalen Moore because Jalen Moore constantly has to fill in for Trent Williams, who, by the way, has effectively been holding in his entire 49ers career. So the only way for him to get attention from the 49ers on a contract dispute is to actually hold out and start taking the fines. That's my logic on the matter. The dude hasn't actually... Kyle Shanahan says he doesn't bend his knees until Sunday. Does not bend his knees until Sunday. Like, not as a joke. I think he's dead serious. I've heard multiple people say, like, yeah, he doesn't bend his knees. Kind of important for a left tackle. So, the dude doesn't practice. I don't mind that he's not practicing, because he doesn't practice. And good on him. I mean, if he wants to pay the money, that's his prerogative. I'd like to think he's liquid enough to do it. He's made a lot of money in the league. And it does put some pressure on the 49ers because, as I wrote in my column going into today, like, he might be the most important player in football in 2025 or whatever the hell this season is, 2024, 2025.
Yeah. And because you asked me about it.
Yeah.
When Jeremy Fowler came out and he said there are whispers that Trent, you know, wants a new contract, and I sort of shrugged it off a little bit, probably too much, because I don't think I realized none of the money for the next three seasons is guaranteed. He's been paid all of the guaranteed money he got in his contract, and he's got $20.5 million of base salary that, like, once the season starts, fully guarantees. So he can bet on that. But after this season, like, he can't really fully bet on any of that money. And granted, it's Trent Williams, so, like, if he plays it out, great. But the entire focus, a few things. The entire focus of the 49ers front office next season is Brock Purdy and paying him probably $55 million a year. Number two, they have done it with Juice and Eric Armstead, where they're like, hey, you want a pay cut? If you don't want it, we're going to cut you.
Of a difference there between those guys in 71.
I agree. I'm just saying there's momentum towards trimming.
We know the era of austerity is soon to be upon us.
And Trent is 36, coming off of a Super Bowl that he really struggled. I watched it recently the other day where Mike Pinnell just bowled him. It was like hard to watch. But his season on the whole was great, and he's still elite. Yes. And this is the last time he's going to have this much leverage. And in a situation where the 49ers are like, we're going for the Super Bowl, and he's going, okay, you absolutely need me more than any other player, probably besides Brock Purdy.
Like, and even with Purdy, you could probably find, you can make the argument that you need Trent Williams more.
because Purdy can't do much if he's just getting destroyed on the left side. So I think Williams is calculating, okay, I am going to sit this out because I made $171 million. I can play the, maybe I'll just retire if you don't give it to me.
Right.
He's got leverage in a way Ayuk does not have. And Trent can say, I'm good. You don't want to pay me what I want. I'm actually good. And I don't think that's what he wants to do. I think he cares a ton about his legacy. I think he really does want to compete for another Super Bowl. Like, I don't think he's just money hungry, but like also brutal sport. This is his real last chance to cash in and get a guaranteed upfront money.
Yeah.
Go for it. Cause he's not going to be the priority next offseason.
That's a great point. I would also note that the reason that this hadn't been taken care of in a serious way is because the 49ers legitimately never know if Trent Williams is going to show up to training camp. Full stop.
Right.
Like at any moment that dude could just decide, nah, I'm good, and walk away. And they've sort of lived on this unspoken understanding that this could be, I mean, it's, I guess it's been spoken because I found out about it, but like there is just this omnipresent threat throughout the 49ers that Trent Williams at any point, including mid-season when it was once suggested he might just quit halfway through a year, that he might just say, I'm good, I'm done. And he goes. After the Super Bowl, I mean, there was another batch of it. Before last season, there was a batch of, will he retire, will he retire? And it wasn't just, hey, you're old, when are you going to quit? Energy coming from the media and stuff. It was like stuff leaking out. So Trent doesn't do loud business. I mean, right, the only thing we heard from this was Jeremy Fowler. I think the record will show that I said never question anything Jeremy Fowler says. I can understand why the 49ers had not taken care of this, because I don't think Trent had made a stink about it until he just didn't show up to camp. And I think that maybe the 49ers are saying, well, if he wants something, he'll ask for it. And right. I will say this against the 49ers right now. They were so gung-ho about extending Christian McCaffrey that now every other person in that building who is interested in a contract has to think that they should get one too, right? The precedent was their eagerness, their zeal to give Christian McCaffrey, who probably should not have gotten a contract extension, given the position that he plays, given the money he already had on the books, given everything, given all that, they're sprinting to get a new deal done with McCaffrey because McCaffrey asked for it for like 3 days. He's like, I would like a contract. And they're like, okay, we got stuff. I would like a contract. Oh, hey, come on, hold on. And then he asks the third time and they're like, okay, let's do this thing. And if I'm Trent Williams, I'm going, everybody else gets in line behind me when it comes to stuff like this. Brandon Ayuk's looking at Christian McCaffrey. Is Brandon Ayuk the same player as Christian McCaffrey? Hell no. But is he a player of Christian McCaffrey's ilk? They're all pros. They're both all pros. I think Ayuk can make an argument that he's as important to the offense as Christian McCaffrey. He can make the argument. He might not be right, but he can make the argument. Yeah. And it just makes it very difficult. The Niners made life a little bit more difficult themselves because they didn't want to have to experience any difficulty with Christian McCaffrey. And I think that should be explored a little bit further. And perhaps we will explore that a little bit further the longer this thing drags out. But again, I'm not at all worried about the fact that Trent Williams isn't at camp. I mean, literally, let me know if they start the week of preparation. If they go to practice on Wednesday before that game against the Jets and Trent Williams isn't there, then I'll be like, huh, you better show up at least once this week to not bend his knees for a couple of days. Like,
right.
Until then, I don't care. And like, legitimately, I know that people are scared off from last year and Nick Bosa not practicing, and then he looked like ass for the first 6-7 weeks of the season. Trent Williams will come right. He'll come correct. And he just doesn't. In training camp, you see him do what, like 5 reps? Like, I don't know.
Like, he usually in training camp does, I think, 3 reps, 2 against Bosa and 1 against, you know, whoever their other guy is.
It's like a snow leopard sighting when you get the Bosa, Trent Williams just rep in the one-on-ones, and everybody huddles around and wow, the majesty of the silverback gorilla and the big bear. And it goes full David Attenborough, And then you're like, well, now the hell, what are we supposed to do? Because we're not going to see that again for another 3 weeks. And then maybe they'll bust it out again. I wish I had a good like music equivalent of they never play this song anymore. But regardless, I'm not worried about that. I am worried about the Aiyuk thing, though. The hold in, hold out, doesn't matter. He's not practicing. And I mentioned this the last go around. I kind of want to lay on you again here. Like, this offense should be different this season. Not like dramatically different. But when you think about what Shanahan style offenses have been doing around the league with the proliferation of his assistants, it's a lot of 11 personnel. It's a lot more of a McVayian. And, you know, you think about what Bobby Slowick did last year with the Houston Texans, and you look at some of the draft picks, or specifically one draft pick in Jacob Cowing, who I've comped to Tank Dell a million times over now. I got to think that Kyle is looking at some of the stuff that his proteges are doing and trying to get that into his game plans a little bit more.
Right.
This is a team that, you know, ran a lot of empty sets on for early downs last year. Brock Purdy ran a lot of Big 12 shit for them. And now he gets a real offseason to be the number one QB because, you know, wasn't a rookie, fourth string depth chart. Let me get that thumb in there. Fourth string depth chart. Wasn't, you know, coming off of an internal brace surgery. Now he gets a full preseason to rep new stuff, and Kyle can throw in new stuff, and you don't have your X receiver. And the X receiver should be the fulcrum of all this stuff. And it's going to be interesting. Who's playing X receiver right now, Jake?
Jennings?
I think it's
Jennings.
A legitimate option.
Yeah, they're just throwing it to Debo every time on ends and slants. And it's going great. Debo looks full. It's Jimmy. Funny. Well, what's funny is like they're making him just play like normal wide receiver. You know,
there's no even motion or going into the backfield or anything like that.
It's day two, but no, it's just, hey, go play actual wide receiver. Let's keep this shit real basic. And it's fun because like Debo's getting the best reps from everybody. He's winning most of them, you know, like he's still, I mean, that's his bread and butter, right? It's just like crossers and ends and
digs and digs and digs and digs. And
right.
Digs.
Right. Like not a lot of complexity and it's great, but like in terms of anything else and like actual, you know, complicated sets and like, yeah. I don't know. It's not.
Keep it simple so that dude can go run through some faces. I mean, you didn't have to run, you know, complicated block schemes with Marshawn Lynch. Just run zone right or zone left or power right. Like he'll get the job done.
Right.
Those are the best kind of football players. I don't need the guys who you need really complicated plays to make work, I don't know if they're very good football players. You know, that's a personal stance on that. And we all know that Debo Samuel's an elite football player. By the way, Debo Samuel's got to be thinking, I'm about to get paid. Because the longer Brandon Ayuk pulls out, the more Debo Samuel's effectively getting paid. And, you know, not by the Niners. Probably not by the Niners. But
probably. I mean, here's the thing. I still think it's highly unlikely the Niners. I think a deal still probably gets done with Ayuk, but if it doesn't and it goes to like fifth year option and they're just like, all right, which one of Ayuk and Debo like plays their ass off, they get the contract. Cause I don't think that's where it's going to go, but that's a door they're like leaving open, especially to be like, Ayuk, hey, you can take the contract and we'll ship off Debo next year, or we're going to get a contract year Debo. And you're going to have to play next year for your contract. So
I think it's a good situation for them to be in. Uncomfortable in the time being and not advantageous at all for the offense. But, you know, hey, they got that Christian McCaffrey contract dealt with. So how bad could it possibly be? You know, we've been talking a bit about Purdy on the periphery. How has he looked so far?
Great. He looks great. He hit Braden Willis. For a nice little shot down the seam. That was like pretty.
Braden Willis, one of my guys to keep an eye on. I like hearing his name.
It's interesting because they've actually got like not a good tight end room as we've spoken about.
No,
but like
they
Eric
do not
Saubert,
have a good...
No. I'm just saying it's from the perspective of me being like, oh, this is like the worst tight end room of all time. It's looking slightly better than that, which is to say. Braden Willis got a little something to him. Eric Saubert has been like looked like more of a player. Caught a nice little pass that Diamador Lenore broke up, and he caught it off the bounce today. That was cool. And then Logan, I guess it's Logan Thomas versus Cam Latu. So
probably
Logan Thomas.
Probably Logan Thomas. Have you seen Cam Latu practice?
I have. I keep. What happens is I see him out there and I go, okay, I'm gonna watch Cam Latu, and then I go, okay, something else is happening, and I get more interested in that
football.
George Kittle praised him very highly on the first day. Shout out. He was like, great job, Cam, which was a little too loud.
Ooh,
maybe a little performative.
And sometimes it sounds like great take here from 49ers faithful forever. Cam Latu, as good as Drake Jackson, who is not practicing. Though he's every time you see him, you just go, that guy could be something. Shows you something that not all about looks. Regardless, who else do I want to ask you about? Who else do I want to ask you about? Okay, so Purdy's look good. Tight end room doesn't look as shitty as it is. You like what Yetur Gross-Matos is doing? I mean, is Gross-Matos just doing the Leonard Floyd thing, or is he a third down guy? Like, what have you been able to surmise off of the Oppo defensive end position to 97?
I think the default is that it's going to probably be Floyd. Probably is the third down rusher. I think they're going to like both have a decent amount of snaps. I don't know if either one's going to be just as the third down rusher. Floyd, I don't know. He wasn't very involved today. I think he came up a little gimpy first day. He was involved, but he didn't do too much today. So Yetur Gross-Matos got a lot of snaps with the ones and looked really good. And I think the 49ers will just say, whoever like looks the best gets the most opportunities, and we'll see who's the best pass rusher. I think realistically Gross-Matos figures to be an early down player at the start of the season. Yeah.
I've been suggesting now for a couple of months that they could slide him inside on third down.
I agree.
Having seen him take some reps now, is that something that seems viable to you?
Dude is a specimen. Like, he's fucking large. And he wreaked out. Like, he got in the backfield a bunch today. He and Fred Warner had like a great run stop. And it was like whenever Bosa would get in, he was right there behind him. So, and I think just with his frame, you can put him anywhere. You can genuinely put him anywhere. And they got him locked up for two. Like, I think that's a sneaky good addition that we kind of thought it might be. We were trying to be cautious.
I liked it a lot better than Floyd. Right. I think the Floyd thing is going to look horrendous. I think that he the juice got squeezed out of the lemon there, or the orange, or whatever citrus you'd like to use. That's the positive, because he was an outstanding player for a very long time. But the way that he performed the second half of last year in Buffalo it should have given the 49ers a significant amount more pause. I found it insane, the rhetoric coming out of 49-49 about Leonard Floyd. And I'm like, do you guys watch the final 8 weeks? Because I just did. And let me tell you, didn't like what I saw. And there was no evident injury. And the whole thing about him is, well, you know, he always plays. And it's like, yeah, but he's playing like that. Who cares?
Yeah.
So yeah. I like Yetur Gross-Matos, 49ers faithful coming in saying Yadam. I think we're pro Y, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. Yadam and Yetur Gross-Matos looking really good so far. Early days yet.
Yep.
Listen, my biggest concern on the team, we've mentioned a lot of the other ones, you know, safety, linebacker. Anything stand out to you at linebacker?
They've been talking up D Winters a ton, and linebacker is one of those things where, especially before pads comes on, it's tough. D Winters, I've definitely seen him a couple times where he hasn't had like a pass breakup, but he's been right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a game, it'd be a short catch, immediate tackle, which is sort of an underrated area of playing linebacker, is like making the immediate tackle, you know, like making them nickel and dime their way down the field. And he looks like he's in a position to do that. Curtis Robinson getting first team reps is not surprising. He's sort of just been there forever and they don't really, you know, it doesn't matter who they put as the Will. Like, he's not really getting first team reps. It's like Will. But he's wearing 36.
As a Sam now. Or as a Will?
Sam. I meant to say Sam.
Sam. Okay. Yeah. We don't like Sam. Yeah, Sams don't exist. If we're talking Sam linebacker, it's Mustafa or, let's be honest,
yeah, Mustafa's Mustafa's all over the place. He's like a guy where, as much as like I went in being excited for him, like what he's actually done, you actually can't take your eyes off. Like it's you're gonna have a great time. It's gonna be great.
Okay, so linebacker, we still need some more time. Another massive concern, we talked about safety. Backup quarterback. So Brock Purdy's out here. Everyone's saying, oh, Brock Purdy, he's put on weight. So much zip on his throws. What a dude. Well, he's about to get paid $60 million a year, so he better look that good.
Real quick.
Yeah.
People do this where they go, it's like, it's fetish level. Let me just like, people are like,
so
did you
sexy.
Put on weight?
What a quarterback.
Are you stronger? Did you get bigger? You a big boy? Like, what is, like, it's so weird. Like, I know they're athletes. I know, like, their jobs are, like, staying in shape and being in the best shape. But,
I get,
like, it's so bizarre to me. It's like, oh, does he have more zip? It's like, he's throwing the ball well. I can't, like, it's not like he's sending a goddamn lightning bolt across the field. Like,
what's
he's
zip
placing
quotient?
It well. It's insane. He looks great because he's like a great processor and delivers the ball on time in the right places. And
what a concept.
Yeah, his arm probably is better than it was last season when he was like rehabbing, apparently for the first like 2 months of the season. It's That's just, right. Can we not be like, ooh, Brock Purdy, like stop it. Like get a grip.
You
I mean, fans,
was, you
fans
over,
do whatever
Jake.
You want.
Yeah, fans can do it. I mean, you can fetishize them. I'm not gonna shame your kink.
Not gonna kink shame.
yeah, we're not like that. We're for all sorts of weirdos. We might be sickos, but we're for all sorts of weirdos too.
Right.
And that's cool. You guys go ahead. But yeah, I knew it was game over when at mini camp. It's like Brock's looking cut. It's like, come on, like. You know what? I'll cop to it, though, because every now and again you see Nick Bosa and you're like, we're not playing the same game, are we, Nick?
Right. We're not the same species. And then, no. Which is why when I see a wide receiver who is the same size as me, I go, what is going on? What is happening here? How are you out there not perishing every single second of every day?
They're shifty. It matters. It matters. And so, okay, Brock's look good. How have his backups, who I am very, very concerned about, looked so far? Because we should be getting at least some sort of a read on Brandon Allen and the astronaut, Josh Dobbs.
Quick analysis. Brandon Allen, good. Nothing really of note.
Okay.
Is not
good's better than what I saw.
Yep. Has not done anything to make me go, oh, God. Josh Dobbs has frequently made me go, oh, like genuinely, so, like harrowingly poor throws. Like there was one today where Jake Tongas, who's probably the sixth tight end on the roster. Like,
God bless him.
In,
keep showing
is
up.
Is wide open. And I'm not just ripping this guy. Like realistically, that's what he is. He goes in and Dobbs throws a ball a good 2 feet behind him. And Tongas is like, look. And when your sixth string tight end is like, dude. Come on. Like, that's not a good sign. Airmailed one over, and 2 days in a row, he's thrown go balls that have come up like a couple feet short of the wide receiver and been picked off. It's worrying. And here's the thing. It's only like a $2.125 million contract, but it's fully guaranteed. So there's a situation where they've just set $2 million on fire and go with like Tanner Mordecai, who is not yet thrown. And I would really be interested to see, because from what I've seen, and Dobbs is like taking time getting like plays in, like in OTAs, we saw that. And I was like, all right, maybe I'm overreacting, but it's just like, you just know the timing, like a play gets sent to the quarterback. They put it in. It's just not happening at the right speed. I'm not trying to like just rip him. This is like, it's concerning.
It's listen, I found it very interesting last year. He had his moments, right? He was on a couple different teams, and he would show up and without any practice, I believe in one case specifically without any practice.
Yes.
And without really even knowing the playbook, he went out and won games. And then they actually were able to teach him the playbook. And he is, by all accounts, a very bright guy and a lovely man.
Perhaps too bright.
But he's been on so many different teams. That tells you a little something. I don't think this is just basic journeyman stuff. If you're smart and capable, you don't have to be a starter, but teams keep around backups for a long time. I mean, Nick Mullins is still around. Nick Mullins has no physical traits worth mentioning.
Who took over for Josh Dobbs last year.
Right. Again. So the fact that Josh Dobbs has bounced around a bunch and that he got worse with more preparation is strange. At the very least, it's strange. And now you're seeing him struggle get in plays. And it's like, I thought you were supposed to be the smart one. That's supposed to be the easy part of the general game plan for you, right? The hard part is making accurate throws and stuff. We'll give you some deference there if you got all the smart stuff down. But if you don't have the smart stuff and you don't have the physical stuff, what are we doing here? Well, what's happening?
Right. It was an odd sort of fit because they signed Josh Dobbs and you go, oh, Josh Dobbs. Like, I didn't really think of him as like a sort of fit for the Niners. I think the idea with him is like, okay, Allen knows the system. Like, he's just fine in like a,
Allen's
in like
a pinch. Pro.
Right. For like a quarter or two. But I think they're like, all right, well, if it's a couple games that Purdy would be out, Dobbs has some athleticism, could make some things happen. It might be worth having a guy like that for cheap around. And, you know, he's smart. He'll get the system. Right now, he just looks a little bit lost out there. And we'll see. We'll see as it develops. But I've been pretty unimpressed. And there's not a lot of guys who have totally unimpressed me so far. It's mostly just him.
I think it's worth noting that, they could totally eat it. And when they totally eat it, they can then probably go see who else got cut. And it doesn't mean they have to initially sign him, but who was the quarterback they just sort of kept around a couple of years ago? He was just sort of omnipresent at the Hilton, but wasn't on the team.
Oh, was that Nate Sudfeld?
I think it was the original Sudfeld. No, it wasn't Sudfeld. It was some other guy. Whatever. We'll look him up. And they just sort of kept him around. And sometimes he'd be on the practice squad and sometimes he wouldn't be. And I think they signed him like 9 times.
Yeah.
They might end up doing that again, keeping. And this obviously would help with the roster crunch because there's a couple of positions where you go, how the hell are they going to, you know, keep these guys? Like running back, for instance. If Cody Schrader is as good as I think he's going to be, as you think he's going to be, as a lot of people think he's going to be,
and
you have a real issue where you have to cut a good player, maybe not Schrader, maybe it's J.P. Mason, or maybe it's, you know, somebody else, but you're cutting a good player because you can't keep as many running backs as you want. Well, not carrying 3 quarterbacks because you have an astronaut back there is a good way to do it. You just go with 2 and then you play the practice squad game because, let's be honest, you're fucked if you're going to your 3rd quarterback anyway. You might as well not eat the roster spot on a day-in, day-out basis if you're just going to go with a veteran. But I would like to see Mordecai. Mordecai would be interesting.
I would like to see Mordecai. And one thing just on Schrader, Guerrero pulled his hammy yesterday. He's had a history of hamstring injuries. He's a guy who really needs to learn the running back position. If he doesn't have reps and this thing like lingers, I think there's a very real avenue where he gets Cam Latu'd, PUP'd, and, you know, misses the season, which is not ideal. I don't think that's the route they want to go based on how they valued him. I think they would try and avoid that at all costs. But if Schrader looks good, and there was like one outside run where he got some guys where they're like, all right, he's a little quicker than we thought.
That's right.
Did one of those.
His whole thing.
Right. And his testing's horrendous, but he's a little Juwan Jennings, you know?
That's right. That's
and he comment. Just, you always underestimate him and you go, the athleticism isn't there, but it is. I don't understand it. He's a gamer. There's a route where
you can't be a bad player and be the best running back in the SEC. You can't be a bad player.
You can't.
I don't care what you tested. Juwan Jennings was a very good player in the SEC. Very good. Wasn't the best wide receiver in the SEC, but he was a very good player. Very productive player. You can't be a bad player. You can't.
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing that shit at, you know, Nevada, no offense to my Mountain West folks, You know, if you're doing shit at Bowling Green, you know, or Western Kentucky, we'll get to Kentucky in a second. You know, if you're kicking ass in Conference USA, the MAC or Mountain West, yeah, there's a different conversation to be had when you test like shit. But if you test like shit, but you just put up mad numbers in the SEC against SEC teams, against elite competition, I'll look the other way. I'll look the other way. And honestly, if it was in reverse, I would be like skeptical. Right. And we've seen that. I mean, how many times have we seen that where you go, well, he played at Georgia and he has these great testing numbers, not to single out Georgia, who puts a ton of really good players in the NFL, but like, you know, he played in the SEC and he has these numbers. And it's like, yeah, then why did he ever do anything when he was in college? Right. And sometimes there's viable reasons, and sometimes they're just not good football players.
Sounds a little bit like a shot at Robert Beal. Robert Beal, who was a
personal affront to Robert
Beal. He also looks genuinely a little bigger. Not to be weird, but
is he looking cut? Are you liking what you're seeing? I'm glad I'm not there. Wait until they put on pads, then you won't have to worry about their physiques as much.
Some people still will. Some people
Jake, I mean, this is all fun games and terribly important. Tell me about what's going on with Western Kentucky and your NCAA dynasty.
So, folks, I know you've all been waiting for this moment, you know.
I mean, they're 36 minutes in, and they're like, give me the Hilltoppers, the Hilltop update.
It's tough, right? You go through your whole season, and then it's over.
Top of the hour.
It's over one day, and then you've got this whole offseason process, and you're waiting. You're trying to find out what's this recruiting class going to look like? What is the future of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers? Is Big Red going to eat the competition, swallow him up into his giant big belly? And just,
that's right.
What is our future? And so as it stands, I've been through two seasons with the Hilltoppers. First season, 6-6, won the New Orleans Bowl.
The RNL Carriers Bowl?
It's no longer called that. Yeah, I think it might be called it's some sort of credit union bowl. In New Orleans.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Won that one. Felt good about it. Had a pretty solid recruiting class. Last year, stumbled into hiring the defensive coordinator of the season. Went 10-0 to start. Then we faced a 3-7 LSU team who smacked us. Then we lost like one more game, and then won our conference championship. Won another bowl game. And that brings us to our newest recruiting class. Got a 5-star quarterback out of nowhere. Just sent the house at him. Freshman quarterback, 5-star starting. I didn't look at the schedule, which was a huge monumental mistake.
Because
I skipped the first game, assuming it was like an FCS team.
FCS East,
We lose. Next game, number 2 Georgia on the schedule. I don't know who scheduled this. I tried so many times, get walloped, you know. We lose by 14, but it's like 51-37. We can't stop them. Next game is where we're currently at. LSU, 1-1.
What is your schedule?
In two games, we face six-seeded Texas A&M. Whoever scheduled us is a sick person. And listen,
it's
I know I run this program. I'm not doing the best job.
Sleep at the wheel.
I should have outsourced it. Listen, we came off a season where we were at one point ranked 21st, and the SEC went, all right, let's take a little bite out of the Hilltoppers. And they went for a chunk. They went for blood, and they're getting that blood. And we have a few players we need who are in threat of transferring, and it's going to be a long season, folks.
Okay. Jake, what are you excited to see in the remainder of block one of 49ers training camp now that we've given you that elite sojourn?
The remainder of block one, I'm going to keep watching Malik Mustafa. What I really am interested in, I want to watch more of the linebackers, but it's so tough without pads. I want to see more of the interior offensive line, and I know there's no pads. I know it's like impossible to evaluate that in the first block, but I want to watch some of that, see what those guys do, at least in 11s. I'm gonna keep watching the safeties and the corners and their movement, and it's going to be entertaining. And I want to watch a little bit more Jacob Cowing because I haven't seen too much of him.
Has he been getting a lot of reps, Cowing?
not too many. He had one little swing pass today that he caught and zipped off down the sideline, where I was like, that's what that should look like.
That's right. Danny Gray runs exceptionally.
Yeah, Danny Gray has also looked like okay. You know, he's
good
made
for him.
Some catches, but also like got should have had a catch today that he jumped for that Samuel Womack broke up. So,
hey, love to hear Sammy Womack getting some love.
They've got a lot of questions at corner, man. Like, and good questions. I mean,
good questions.
Like, there's just so many. Dudes. You could realistically keep like seven guys, eight guys. You're not going to do that ever at corner, but you'd be like, these guys deserve to make the team. And that maybe
indulge me here for a second. So, Ward, Yadam, Lenore, Thomas, right? You can keep Thomas. He's started. I'm just saying you can keep him. I'm not saying that he's got to stay. I'm just saying you can keep him.
Okay.
obviously, Renardo Green. That's five. Okay. Womack.
To me, put Thomas to the side. Like, okay. You got
Womack, Luter. That's seven.
Mm-hmm.
That's seven. That's seven corners vying for six spots.
Yeah, and Chase Lucas, who's a special teamer.
Oh, that's
and
right, Chase Lucas,
slot corner. So that's like really eight guys for six, nine guys for six spots.
Who's the ninth?
I mentioned we got Ward, Lenore, Renardo Green, Yadam.
Yadam.
I think Luter's like borderline a lock. And then you've got eight guys for six spots.
Luter being a near lock, what makes you say that?
He looks good. They keep raving about him. They were like, oh yeah, Rock Ya-Sin. That was the other guy.
Thank you, 49ers Faithful Forever.
Appreciate it. I was missing somebody.
I've never seen him practice.
He made a couple the second
he showed up at minicamp. So I haven't seen
him. He had a pass breakup day one and had another play that he should have broken it up, but Debo held on, but stopped him for like, you know, two yards.
I've heard rave stuff about Rock Ya-Sin. I liked him a lot coming out of college.
So did the 49ers.
And then when he played for the Colts, I didn't hear really anything from folks who had him with the Raiders, but when he played for the Colts, people were like, oh, this guy has the ability to be like one of the best in the league. And it just never came together. And it probably never will, if we're being honest, but they raved about the talent. And like in practice, they were saying he was just the absolute truth, but he just couldn't stay healthy enough to translate it onto the field.
He looks good. I think he's a guy that if they can get him as their veteran practice corner, that would be a fucking coup.
They've got
looking into a trade, like if you could ship off Ambry Thomas for like a bad nose tackle.
Oh, you know? Okay. Like, hey, you're about to cut this guy. We're about to cut this guy. You want to just do a swap?
Yep. Yep.
That's a doable thing. Let's leave the agents out of this and just make this thing happen.
Right.
They should do more trades like that. Baseball, they do that shit all the time. I had some point, but I forgot it. Doesn't matter.
We should clip that as like the tagline for this show. I had a point.
Yeah. I had a point. I lost it. Jake, I'm not going to lie to you. We're running on very little sleep, and I've only hydrated with light to medium bodied beers as of late. So this has all kind of gone to hell in a handbasket. My whoop is like, are you okay? Like, I know you're alive, but are you doing okay? And I'm like, no, this is not vacation. Don't schedule a vacation that just revolves around spending time with your in-laws. Don't do that. That's stupid. I'm a dumb man. Dumb man. We can also clip that for you. All right. We'll do this again in a couple days. We'll have Jake take all of block one into consideration and then come in with his studs and his duds, as we will do. Until I get my fat ass back down into Santa Clara, I guess I'll be back for. I'll be there for practice on like the next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, who will show up first, Trent Williams or me?
That's a great question. That's actually really. I don't know. You should walk in.
Last year, I didn't show up until Brock Purdy was able to throw 100%. I was on paternity leave. And I'm like, yeah, well, Brock ain't throwing 100%. So I showed up when Brock was like, I'm 100% good to go. And I'm like, I'm 100% here. That's what I did. I used to give so much of a damn about training camp. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not sure it's all that important anymore. Not to undercut everything we're doing here.
Yeah.
But like,
it's also like we're covering a team where so many of the spots are covered. So it's really like, is this third string safety, maybe the second safety, you know, like,
We care about that stuff and our audience cares about that stuff.
And I'm still taking, for those of you that are still here, I'm still taking copious notes. I'm a sick man. Oh, I'm alone at the back of the end zone. Just like,
oh yeah. He's looking real cut.
Is Mustafa single high? that's what I'm doing. So I got you, you know, you got any weird questions? I'm your weird envoy.
Yeah, go to Hutch.
Get those questions answered.
Leave me alone. Go to Hutch at Hutch Diesel on X. just ask him your weird minutia questions.
Sure.
Like, is Jarrett Kingston looking good at right tackle? I'm seriously asking. Is he looking good at right tackle?
I don't think he's been at right tackle.
Shows what you know. Okay, we'll do this again in a couple of days. Thanks everybody for joining in. Appreciate you. And at some point, you know, we're not paying Elon Musk, so we appreciate you guys strictly coming through and following us on YouTube. Hit subscribe and like if you are interested in more of this tomfoolery and or nonsense. And we'll ramp this thing up. But once I get back to the Bay, we'll make it look nice too. So until then, have a good one.